This week, I was thinking about names. And I was remembering the experience of visiting the store, something that we have all done. You see the shelf that has the items, the cool shelf, the items with all the names on them, whether they be keychains or door plates, pencils or bookmarks. And I would curiously make my way over to that shelf in hopes that I might look and find the name Anna somewhere on that shelf. And there would be Anne, and there would be Anne with an E. And when I was a child, there weren't very many people my age named Anna. And so often I would leave that little turnstile with disappointment. But today is a good day. Not only is the date 02022020, which is this palindrome rarity, the text today is the only passage where the name Anna appears in Scripture. So I feel like I have won the jackpot. The story we hear today happens 40 days after Christmas, and I wonder how that can possibly be. When we observe the Feast of the Presentation, in some traditions it's called Candlemas, marking the end, officially, of Christmastide, when candles are lit representing the light of Christ, and those that are going to be used are prayed over and blessed. And we find in Scripture Joseph and Mary are bringing their purification offering. They're offering for Mary following childbirth after the appropriate wait, following the Jewish law, the law that you would read in Leviticus 12. They offered the gift that is given by those who are poor, two turtle doves or two pigeons. And they're supposed then to offer a 5 shekel fee for the redemption of their firstborn baby boy. And Luke doesn't mention that. But what we hear here is that there is a family of devout followers of the Mosaic Law who have come to the temple in Jerusalem, some of Israel's most exemplary people. We are introduced to a man named Simeon who is upright and righteous. And somewhere along the way in his life, he had received a promise given to him by the Holy Spirit. And so he has been waiting on the consolation of Israel to see with his own eyes the one who will restore God's rule and make things right. When we hear Israel's consolation, what is it that he is waiting for? The Israelites are living in a land of Roman occupation. They have been subject to another country's rules for a number of years, decades, centuries. And now they have the boot of the empire on their necks. They are always kept in place under government watch. They're allowed enough freedom to worship and live while keeping them oppressed, financially needy, and conveniently fearful of standing up. When will they see God's favor? When might they be truly free, out from under the oppressive structure? They have been longing for peace and deliverance, and they groan. Some of them have rebelled and been killed, and others of them live with resentment but make the best of it. But we know a little other part of the story. somewhere in a quiet corner, a girl had received a message. And she said yes to a daunting invitation, carried God's child, and birthed the Christ child into the world. She has seen a glimpse of salvation. And close by, in a room, a man received a message while dreaming. And he willingly accepted his role in raising this child as his father, to see God's will come in some unknown way. He has seen a glimpse of salvation. Simeon knows the stories of how God has acted in the past, how God has delivered before. And he's been waiting for a future deliverance, one that's been promised. And he's looking back at the Exodus and the story of his people, and he's holding on to that hope and believes that God is still in the work of delivering. As I hear his story, I wonder how long he has waited. How many years have gone by since he heard that promise? Did he wonder, like we would wonder, how he would know that this was the one, how he would actually recognize the one who was coming? And scripture says he's growing older. Did he ever doubt that this was actually going to be fulfilled? And surely he had to think about what in the world he would feel or think or how he would act when he actually came into the presence of this one. Would there be overwhelming joy and great relief? Would he be filled with the deepest hope? Enter into the temple a couple, carrying a baby who is about 6 weeks old. And Simeon went in. It seems like he was led there. I wonder if he knew he was being led, if he followed some urging, or if he just felt like there should be a time of prayer right now, or if later he went, "I knew I felt that way, and I should go there." And when he sees this couple with their young baby, he gathers the baby Jesus up close in his arms. Could this really be happening? He welcomes the family, and he blesses the child and the family. And looking in the eyes of that small one, into the eyes of salvation, he gives the Nunc Dimittis, what we refer to as the Canticle of Simeon, our choir just saying the beautiful words to it. He speaks conviction and thanksgiving and relief. You can hear in his voice the felt assurance, like Julian of Norwich felt, that all shall be made well, and all manner of things shall be exceedingly well. But then you can feel a grand pause, something in the air. That is not all. Simeon looks into the eyes of Mary like he can see something deep inside of the pain that she will bear, of the cost of this deliverance that is arriving for all. And he tells her the difficult words of the sword that will pierce her soul, for she will hurt. Did Simeon leave feeling uplifted, or some mixture of joy and sorrow? A heart weighted down that understands there's something grander that's happening above what is seen. Anna the prophetess, preacher, joins in thanksgiving to God. And scripture says that she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She glimpsed God's salvation, and she couldn't remain silent. The mom and dad looked down at that tiny baby, the size of one that you coo at and try to hold eye contact with, and behold the innocence and trust you see there. When infant cries are still sweet and vibrate a little with that quivering lower lip, the age when you hold them up to you and press that sweet, soft, fuzzy head against your cheek, and you breathe in to smell new baby, the good smells of new baby. And this is the time in their lives when they are new parents filled with love and this strong need to protect and get it all right. Mary and Joseph heard the words of Simeon and Anna, and they had pride and they were happy. And I imagine Joseph thought, wow, this is really all true. That dream was real. Thanks be to God. And that Mary, somewhere inside of her, thought, that song I sang, it was founded. Deliverance really is coming, and I get to be a part of that. Thanks be to God. I imagine their faith was buoyed. But had Mary figured in that later cost? She had already figured the cost on the front end. She knew that people were going to whisper and gossip. She'd experienced it. She knew about the judgment that might come. She knew she risked rejection, even perhaps the risk of her own life. But what about those things ahead? Scripture says she tucked these words into her heart to carry, to wait like Simeon had waited for so many years, not knowing what will unfold or when or how. Simeon goes with a weight inside, but deep peace. The future is going somewhere beautiful. Here is an ultimate truth, a biggest love, a fullness of salvation that will be completed, glimpsed even now, and already breaking in a baby. And Joseph and Mary leave carrying hope for their people, for all people. And so they hold that baby with a sense of responsibility, and they teach and raise him with wisdom and fierce love. And they discipline and mentor with purpose and a little fear and trembling, celebrating that they play a part in the plan, humbled by the trust that God has placed in them, and anticipating the future unfolding, even as they hold some sincere concern, but ultimate hope and joy for all. You and I today, we are able to behold Christ as the Spirit leads us, to glimpse salvation that is for all, no exceptions. We see the kingdom breaking in creation, in new life, in one another, young and old, in song and in word. We behold Christ in the table that Christ has set for us. We must recognize that faithful following of this one, it is weighty. It doesn't always sit well with everyone. And it comes with a cost. May we, as we are able, receive Christ's light within us and our own sense of purpose and responsibility, wisdom from God's Spirit, even with a little fear and trembling ourselves, and fierce love. And may we carry the light so that all will see, and like Anna, share it with all who are looking for redemption and deliverance. Amen.